used to be able to call off numbers just like this, but I can't anymore because I don't contribute it to my mind. I don't depend on my mind. I depend on technology. Same thing goes with the Word of God. If you're not in your Bible and the page is turning, or you're even, and I brought my iPad today, I didn't bring my Bible, but if you don't use that paper Bible, that book Bible, and turn and look, you will forget where the books are. You will forget, and it's a way that you depend, we depend on technology. We depend on somebody to put those scriptures up there so we don't have to look them up. Now, what happens if we lose that technology? What happens if something happens in the United States that we don't have that technology? And the Bible also says that I hid the word in my heart that I may not sin against you, David did. I have hid the word in my heart that I might not sin against you. But you know what? We have a tendency, if it's up there on the board, we don't hide it in our heart. Can I hear an amen? Does anybody besides me do that? We don't. We depend on something else. I know one person forgot where the book of Jude was. I won't call him out, but I know one person forgot where the book of Jude was. He raised his hand. But you see, we get dependent on things that Satan can control. He can control that. Now, if you have that in your Bible, in your hand, and you're flipping those pages, and you know you're hiding that in your heart. But we have a tendency when it's technology not to do that. But on freedom, God gave us the freedom to do that. He gave us the freedom to choose. Are we going to do it His way? Are we going to do it technology way? Are we going to hide the word in our heart? Are we going to depend on somebody else to put it up there so we don't have to hide it in our heart? He gave us that freedom to choose. Jesus gave us the freedom to take back everything that Satan stole. Everything that Satan stole. And there's one place in the Bible says that when you discover what he's stolen, he has to replace it seven times. So, but if you don't know that, you're not going to charge him to give it back to you seven times. But I thought this was interesting. In Matthew 16:19, I'll give you about 30 seconds to find it. And Matthew's the first one in the New Testament, in case you forgot where it was. I'm kidding. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. Everybody there, I didn't hear many pages flipping. I saw some iPad. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, because I have my iPad here too. In Matthew 16:19, in the Passion, I will give you the keys. The keys are symbols of authority and ruling power. And he said he would give us the keys. The keys, there's a difference between keys to the kingdom and keys of the kingdom. There's a difference in that one, the two-letter word, to and of. If he gives you the keys of the kingdom, you have all the keys. But the keys to the kingdom, he gave that to us. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. If you've been coming on Wednesday night, Rich has been teaching on that. He's been teaching on the kingdom. Another thing is, or whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. or that which you forbid on earth must be that which is already forbidden in heaven. What's already forbidden in heaven? Sin, sickness, depression, problems, all of that's been forbidden in heaven because it's not going to be there. And that which you permit on earth must be that which is already permitted in heaven. So everything that's permitted in heaven, you have the freedom and the authority to bring that down here on earth because God gave us that freedom. He gave us the freedom to exercise those, but it's your choice. You have the freedom to choose if you're going to or not. But that's what he gave us the freedom to do. Sometimes I get, anybody ever get amused at God? I do. Sometimes I say touche. You know what touche, when you're sword wrestling thing fighting and you say touche? Sometimes I say that to the Lord. And he knows you. He knows your how you are. He knows your sense of humor. He knows if I say I'm going to be there at 7, it might be 2, 3, 5 minutes after 7. But he knows that. He knows me. So anyway, sometimes I chuckle to myself and I kind of get amused. Because back in June, when I thought I was going to be speaking July the 2nd, the Lord dropped the word into my spirit and it was freedom. But certain circumstances, I didn't preach on July the 2nd. Minister Greg preached a wonderful message on the Jesus way. If you weren't here and heard it, you need to go back and catch it on the video. He had 3 points. He had pray, he had love, and he had forgive. And that was the message that God had for that day. And then last week, Minister Blaine preached on the cross. It was a great message. If you didn't catch it, you need to go back and listen to it. And he said you have to enter through the cross. I'm not going to get all of his points because he had more than 3. But anyway, he's only got 3. Enter through the cross. You have to bear your cross. And he said that people were going to church but was not being set free. You have the freedom to choose if you're going to be set free or not. You have the freedom to choose if you're going to accept God and Jesus or you're not. And that freedom that he gave us, if he came down, he doesn't have the legal right to come down and do that because Adam gave the earth back to Satan. But he can't come down and force you to. He gives you all the things there, and you have the freedom to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And so you have, and he says, I place before, I think this is in Deuteronomy, I place before you life and death. Choose life. But see that freedom that he has given us. And the person that was supposed to speak today couldn't do it, so it fell on me. And I personally had almost a nervous breakdown when I first found that out. But, and a lot of, immediately when the word came back to me, freedom. Because God has this in order. He had the one about the Jesus way. He had the one about the cross. And now he has one about freedom. And the freedom for you to choose the Jesus way, the cross, and the freedom. It's your choice. And so he had it all lined up. But you know what? He didn't tell me about it earlier. Can you believe that? He did not say a word to me. And so when this person said, I'm not going to be able to speak, I thought, oh, good grief, that's not good. But anyway, he knows. He knows. And I had the freedom to either accept it or reject it. And freedom can be a very dangerous thing. The worldly definition for freedom is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Now, with that being said, that can also be spiritual. Because we also have the right to act and speak or think as I want to, without restraints or hindrances. But we know when we can't act or speak as we want to. We know we can't do what and say what we want. Well, you can, but you might have consequences to face. Sometimes you might be willing to pay the consequences to speak what you want to. But you can speak or act any way you want to, but there might be consequences to that. Have you ever noticed when something upsets us, we almost automatically begin to speak negatively? And I would like to add, too, sometimes we may not speak it out, but we think it. And our actions sometimes speak a lot louder than our words. And our actions, you have the freedom to act any way you want to. You can act, you know, righteous and have Jesus there, or you can act like the other guy. So just because you don't speak it out doesn't mean that it doesn't affect you or it doesn't affect the other person. Because that freedom that you have to think and say, and actually what should really happen is when something happens, we should automatically speak the word. We should automatically speak the word out. We should think the word and allow God to work through us. I would like to add, we may not say them, you know, out loud, but we have to be aware of our actions. In the natural, freedom can be very dangerous. It's like a loaded gun. I used to tell my kids, you know, when a person graduates from high school, probably one of the most dangerous times of their life, because they have been under the guidelines of their parents in the home. You know, they've been told what to do, when to do, and how to do it, and they've had that protection. When they go off to college or they leave home, they have the freedom to do whatever they want to. They can do and say whatever they want to, and sometimes that leads to a lot of trouble. But hopefully they learn, they're a quick learner and they don't go too bad. But it's a very dangerous thing. We make choices every day that affects us in the natural and also in the spiritual. When we get up in the morning, we have the freedom to decide how our day is going to go. We can either go with the Lord or we can go the other way. But we have the freedom to decide what we're going to do. According to the Christian worldview, true freedom is not a matter of doing what you want without restraints, but cultivating the right wants and living in obedience to God's will. In other words, freedom results when our wants align with God's will. That's what true freedom is. And there's a scripture in Psalms, I think, that you can have the desires of your heart. And what that means is when your desires line up with His desires, you can have those desires. Because we all know we have desires that aren't good and God's not going to allow us to have them. Okay, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, I'm going to read it to you first in the Message. And just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it is spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. I'm going to read that again. When I read that, it just jumped off. Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it is spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. And a lot of Christians are slaves to their whims because they are doing what is technical, not necessarily spiritually appropriate. And then in the ESV, it says, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are fearful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he's addressing lawsuits and sexual immorality. In that chapter, that's what he is addressing to the church of Corinth. Because if you read the epistles of Paul, when he would address the churches, they had a lot of problems. And he was pretty plain. He was, you know, he didn't fool around. He just said it like it was, and he was there. Mankind was held in slavery to Satan because of the fall. When Adam gave Satan the legal right on the earth, it took away our freedom. It took away our freedom because he gave that to Satan. When Jesus died on the cross, as Minister Blaine spoke last week, and conquered death, hell, and the grave, he gave the legal right, the authority for us to take back the earth. That's the freedom that he gave us, to take it back the way he really intended for it to be before Adam and Eve gave it away. He gave us the authority to break the bondage of sin. And if you know someone who is living in sin, they are in bondage. If you know someone that has addiction problems, they are in bondage. And they're not usually very happy. Then they are struggling. And they go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing because they're held in bondage and they're taken by that whim. They've already given into that and they want to do whatever the body wants to do at that time. In John 14, 12, I'm going to read it in the New King James. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. That is a freedom that he gave us, that you have the freedom to choose if you want to walk in that or you don't want to walk in that. That is a freedom that you have. You make the choice. You decide. Now, I will say, when you decide to do that, it's no walk in the park. I mean, it's just like our freedom in the United States. People had to fight for that. People had to go out and fight for that. When you get your freedom in the Lord, you're going to have to fight that spiritual battle because Satan's not going to lay down for you and roll over and let you have it. You're going to have to fight for that spiritual authority that God gave you, that Jesus gave you when he died on the cross. You're going to have to fight. And it's not going to be a walk in the park. And if you're old enough to remember tiptoeing through the tulips, it's not going to be that. It isn't. You're going to be walking. You're going to be fighting. And, you know, you can fight in different ways, but you need the Word of God. That is your ammunition. That is your gun. That is your bomb. That is your everything. That Word of God is what will win the battles. In the Old Testament, they were held in bondage of sin. They didn't have the legal right, the authority to break the bondage of sin because Jesus had not come yet. And so they lived in this bondage of sin. They didn't have the power that we do. And you know what? We don't use our power the way God intended for us to use our power. And you know, the Son is free indeed. And the truth will set you free. But you know, if someone from the third world country would come over here, they might sit here in the dark because they wouldn't realize that those switches back there turn the lights on. But when you realize those switches back there turn the lights on, you've been set free from the darkness. But that person from the third world country would not be set free from the darkness because they wouldn't know to turn those switches back there. And so we need to operate in the freedom that God has given us. We need to start practicing it. We need to start doing what the Word of God says. In Acts 1 and 8, you guys should be able to quote this one. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And that word power is dunamis. It means power, strength, mighty works, essential power, power to reproduce itself. It's where we get the word dynamo. It's where we get the word dynamite. And you know, dynamite can be pretty dangerous if you don't know how to use it. So you need to get in the Word, and you need to learn, and you need to let God give you revelation. Let Him give you a Logos word. Let Him lead you and guide you and direct you, because that is what Jesus wants us to do. When He died on the cross and gave us the authority to go back and take what Satan has stole, and take it and bring it back in as thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to go back and do that. Jesus gave us the power to walk in freedom and not be held in bondage to sin and Satan. We know Christians that are held in bondage. But see, if you have the knowledge and you have the understanding, then we need to share that with those people who are held in bondage. You need to pray that God bring those people into your life, that you can share that word, that they can be set free, that they can be free from that bondage. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, they would go to the tabernacle once a year for the atonement of their sin. Now, I don't know about you, I personally am glad that we have got a new system, because I'm not sure I would like doing all that stuff that they did. And, you know, killing the sacrifice and all that stuff that they had to do with the blood and the inner parts of the animal and all that. I thank God that Jesus came. I thank God that I have been set free. I thank God that I'm under a new covenant. I thank God that He gave me the power to take authority over these things. Because, you know, I don't think I would be much into that. But anyway, they went once a year. But we have the freedom to walk under this power and authority every day. We have the ability to walk in it 24/7. And sometimes we just get lazy. Well, I should include you. I should by myself. I sometimes get lazy. I get tired, and I think, oh, you know, I'll do that later. But I have the opportunity to walk in it 24/7 every day. And I will say, the more battles you face, the more you'll walk in it. When Satan starts coming at you, you're going to go get something to take care of him, because you don't want him in your life. So... But the word atonement is reparation. It means of amends for a wrong one has done. It would just cover their sins. It didn't remove them. But when Jesus died on the cross, it removed our sins. It gives us the freedom to go into the throne room of God. It gives us that authority. In Ephesians 3:12, this is in the NIV, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I mean, that needs to soak in, guys. That needs to soak in. In the King James Version, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now you think about when God came in there, took that veil at the top. If you have any people that sew, typically when you rip something out, it's from the bottom up. But God didn't do it that way. He took it from the top and down, and the veil was in the tabernacle that it separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. Only the priests were allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. And then they tied bells around the bottom of their garments in case they were struck dead because they weren't worthy to go in there. And then when you didn't hear the bell tinkling, they had a rope around them so you could pull them out. Now, aren't you glad we don't have to go through that? Because sometimes I'd fail. I mean, I would, you know, I'd be dead on the first minute. But anyway, we don't have to do that. We don't have to do that because Jesus gave us the freedom. He gave us the freedom to walk in it. He gave us the freedom to walk into that throne room and kneel at His throne and worship Him and talk to Him and let Him talk to us. He wants to fellowship with us. He gave us that right. And even if I have done something I shouldn't have, or committed sin, or something that I need to repent for, you know, He gives me that leeway that he will convict me when I come in there. He will convict me when I go into that throne room and all I have to do is kneel to him and repent. But we have, can you imagine what a privilege that is just to walk into where he is and kneel at his throne? And those angels around him are crying, holy, 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 24/7. And we have the right to go in there. Can you think about the anointing that we feel when we go into that Holy of Holies? When we are allowed to go in and say, God, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I need your help with. I need to just converse with you. I need to worship you. I need your presence in my life. What a privilege that is. Because the veil was torn down, it gave the invitation to go in, the freedom to go boldly to the throne of grace. What a wonderful, wonderful freedom. But you know, with that freedom, you have the freedom to decide, are you going or are you not? Are you going to spend time with him or are you not? Are you going to get in the word or are you not? Freedom is a wonderful thing, but it also can be a dangerous thing. But the invisible hand of God to reach down and remove the barrier himself, that says, I want to spend time with you. He removed that barrier himself in tearing it. Now, no earthly priest needs to beg for our forgiveness. Anyone may enter God's presence by the way of Jesus' blood shed to pay the wages, that he shed to pay the wages for our sin. What a privilege. And what a privilege that we take so for granted. We take our freedom here in the United States for granted. But oh my goodness, we take the freedom we have with God more for granted. Sometimes we're disrespectful because we don't appreciate the freedom that we have. And sometimes we will go. If you've ever had a child or maybe a maid or somebody who you've went for several days or weeks or months and not talked to them, you know how the longing in your heart is to talk to them? God has more of a longing to talk to you. He desires us. He wants us to come in and talk to him. He wants to share with us and us to share with him. There was a theologian, Timothy Lake Johnson, I have no idea who he is, but I thought this was interesting, says the tearing of the temple curtain could symbolize the end of the old covenant of atonement through animal sacrifice and the beginning of the new covenant. In this new covenant, a priest would no longer be needed. It's just you and God. And if you go into the book of Hebrews, it tells you of what a better covenant you have just through what Minister Blaine preached last week. What you have, the new covenant, and all the benefits that you have under that new covenant than we didn't have before. Jesus gave us freedom on the cross. I need each and every one of you to exercise this freedom and stand with TGP and me to fight against the battle. How many know that we're under a battle and we're under attack? How many of you know that? Do you know that it's not only here in TGP? Churches are coming under attack. There was an article in the Marian Star last week, I think it was, how church buildings are being turned into restaurants, to bars, to dance places, to other worldly things, because Satan is trying to shut down the churches. I can tell you several churches right here in Marian going through the same thing we are, then Satan is fighting them. Satan is attacking them. But we have to realize who we're fighting. We're not fighting each other. We are fighting Satan, and he is coming against us. But we have the freedom to take the authority that he cannot have TGP. He cannot have the church because we are going to win. I don't know about you, and you may not recognize this in me. I'm a fighter. I am a big fighter. I refuse to allow that to happen. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, in the ESV, this is a familiar scripture to you, or should be. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And you have to recognize the schemes of the devil are using to turn to shut down churches. The schemes that Satan is using to shut down churches. And we need to become aware of this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against each other and the people, other Christian people that we know. We're wrestling against the schemes of the devil. And you would be surprised sometimes how sneaky he is. He can sneak something in and you not even realize it. But against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over the present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And in verse 16, it says, in all circumstances, not just part of them, all of them, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Not in some of the circumstances when you feel like it or you feel like you can't handle it. It's in all circumstances. You take up the shield of faith. Now, back in the Old Testament, when they would fight, they would carry their shields, and they would hook those shields together. And these shields would be all around here. And then you would have one guy in the middle that would have his shield up in the air that would keep the fiery darts. They would keep away the fiery darts. But whenever they were hooked together, they were together in unity. They were together in faith. And then when they moved, one person didn't go that way and another person this way. They all had to go the same way. And we want to go the same way, and that's to the throne of God in prayer. We want to stand together in unity. We want to bind together and stop Satan from his tricks because he has been exposed. And we need to hook those shields together. I'm going to ask Minister Blaine and Greg to come up here. We're going to do the altar call service is going to be a little bit different this time. Rich can come up if he wants to. But we're going to do something different. Now, I wanted to find these shields and hook them, but you got to use your imagination because I couldn't find any. So you know how back in medieval times when they had those shields and they covered their whole body, and then they would have the ability to hook onto each other. And I want to say that as we hook arms and we join our faith and we're holding that shield of faith up, Satan is not going to be able to penetrate it. Satan is not going to be able to penetrate it because we are in unity and we're in one mind and one accord. But you know, when David went down to kill Goliath, he said, then David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And we know who won, right? So is the Lord of hosts stronger than all the javelins and all the things that they had? And is God the same today as he was yesterday? Jesus Christ the same? Does he have the same power today? Did he give us the freedom to use that power to stand against the wiles of the devil? Okay. Hallelujah. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And that's just exactly what we want to do to Satan. We want to join our forces. We want to use the word of God, and we want to take his head off. We want to stop the schemes that he has set against us. Do you know he has set demonic forces out to be against us? He has got them into action. And you know what's really sad is sometimes we fall into it and we allow him to use us. But we want to stand together. Then all the assembly will know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. We need to stop saying our words and what we think and start saying what the Word of God says. And I'm including myself with that. We need to stop expressing our personal opinions, because our personal opinions really don't matter. It's what God wants. And if we get into agreement on what God wants, we're going to win. And I refuse to allow Satan to defeat us. I refuse to allow those to happen. I refuse to allow separation, disunity. I refuse. And that's what Satan uses. That's what he's using on churches all around Marion. That's why the church attendance is falling off, because Satan is in there stirring everything up. But whenever you recognize what he's doing, he has to come back and give it to you seven times. So the attendance has got to grow seven times. The offerings have got to grow seven times. We have got to get in together and get in unity so that God will prevail. And he will prevail with or without you. He will prevail. So what I want to do, maybe we all stand up here, guys. I want to demonstrate something. I want you to put your... Yeah, and take that hand and act like you're holding a shield. Now, you guys see that shield over him? And then we're going to do the same here. Now, I want you, if you would come. Pastor Teresa, if you want to come up here and join us in our forces. Vicki, anybody that wants a Kimba, Laguel, anybody that wants to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we can conquer this. Because when we have our faith, you see this? When Satan comes at us, all he's going to see is the faith of TGP. When Satan comes at us, he's not going to see individuals. He's going to see a unity. He's going to see that we are united and that God is victorious. He's going to be like, we're going to be like David when he slung that slingshot. We are going to sling that at the devil and we are going to defeat him because we are conquerors. Through Jesus Christ, we are conquerors. We have the authority and we have the freedom. Lord, I just pray this morning that our faith grows, Lord. I pray, God, that we move in you, Lord. I pray, God, that we allow you to do your work. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, the anointing fall in this church. I pray, God, that love and unity fall in this church, Lord. And I pray for your presence, Lord. I pray that you lead us and you guide us and you direct us, Lord. And I pray that everyone here will surrender their will to your will, Lord. That they will allow you to use them. And that, Lord, when Satan comes at us, God, that all he sees is unity. All he sees is faith. All he sees is you operating in this church. And, Lord, we are going to be victorious because you gave us the freedom. You said that we could do it, Lord. You said that we would have that freedom and that authority. And we take authority this morning, God. Each person, Lord, here takes authority over the schemes of Satan. And we rebuke them and we command them to leave in the name of Jesus, because we are going to be victorious. Lord, we are going to be victorious through this, God, and you are going to be the victor. You are going to receive the glory and the honor, Lord, and people are going to draw to you, God, because of that. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you gave us this artillery, Lord. You gave us these weapons to fight against him, Lord, and I pray that we use those weapons to fight against the enemy. And Lord, I just thank you this morning. I thank you for victory. I want to ask each one here just to continue in prayer. And Lord, we just pray, God, that your will be done. I pray, God, I surrender my will to your will, Lord. I pray that I be used of you, Lord. And I pray, God, that your will be done. Lord, we worship you this morning. We worship you this morning. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You want to go that way and pray with people down that way? And you go that way and pray with people down that way? And just pray for them and in unity. In unity, Lord. We just pray, God, for each individual. We pray, Lord, for each individual, Lord. We pray, God. We pray, God, that you use them for your glory. We pray, God, for revelation. We pray, Lord, for revelation in their lives, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you move for them, oh God. We pray, Lord, and we magnify you, Lord. We magnify.